We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go have some fun, boys. Let's go perform today.
We're getting you ready for today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
For the next 2 hours,
join our hosts Hugh Douglas and Will Palache
as they talk everything Falcons,
as well as a look around the league.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Hugh and Will.
A happy Falcons game day to you and yours. Week 6 of the NFL season begins now with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The 0-5 Atlanta Falcons and the 1-4 Minnesota Vikings. Willie P, Hugh Douglas here with you. Good morning and happy game day to you as the Falcons take on Minnesota in Minnesota, U.S. Bank Stadium. Good morning, Hugh Douglas. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Willie P. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a happy Saturday. A wonderful Saturday, and you know, had a chance to do everything that you wanted to do.
You were getting it in on Saturday, I saw on your Instagram.
Yeah, I went to a spin class. Shout out to my old teammate Dorsey Levins. He had a spin class that I went to, and it was fun. It was outside, socially distanced, and the music was great. The one thing about going to spin class, the music has to be great, because usually I would bring my iPod. And listen to my own music. But the music was great. The atmosphere was great. And I had a good time. Butt cheeks hurt a little bit, but I'm good. I'll be all right, you know.
Trust me, the butt hurt is strong for a lot of Falcon fans right now when it comes to the way that this season has gone. Of course, it all came to a head on Monday, or at least late Sunday night into Monday, with the dismissal of head coach Dan Quinn and general manager Thomas Dimitroff. We have a new, at least temporary, regime in place with interim head coach Raheem Morris. And I think the question on every Falcons fan's mind right now is, how will it look different? What will look different? What do you surmise we see today with this Falcon team?
That's a good question, Willie P, because you're talking about Coach Morris. Morris was the architect of the defense, the 6-2 defense from last year. And that was one of the reasons why he got the opportunity to get this job. Now, how different it's going to look, I really don't know, man, because I really don't know. This team is, I can't even say they're bipolar, because in order to be bipolar, have another extreme that they have. And I haven't seen that yet. Or I could, you know what, I take that back. They are bipolar, because they're one team in the first half and they're another team in the second half. I don't know. I don't know, Willie P. I don't know what I'm going to see when it comes to this football team, because we were told that they loved Coach Quinn and they wanted to play with Coach Quinn, but they didn't get it done. So I really couldn't tell you.
They are a team with multiple personalities. But I do feel like because of that, you find them almost having more negative personalities than anything. And because of that, you now run yourself into a situation where you play a team in Minnesota who is reeling. But it's a similar situation we had 2 weeks ago. A team that has without one of its big superstars, the running back Dalvin Cook will not play tonight. Alexander Mattison will play instead. He looked pretty good against Seattle, but he's not Dalvin Cook. Still, this kind of comes to show a similar thing that we saw a couple of weeks ago. Team comes into the game thinking that they can win against the Falcons without one of their best offensive players.
Yeah, and that's been a story. And, you know, you're talking about a team that has, you know, their offense basically revolves around, you know, the running back. They have a pretty good running back. So, you know, the running backs for the Falcons have had a lot of success this year. And that's the one thing that you worry about. You're talking about catching the ball out of the backfield and running the ball out of the backfield. The Falcons have not consistently stopped the running back, that position, from having success on Sunday?
We talked about this last week, kind of thinking that the boom was about to be lowered on Dan Quinn, about playing through a coaching change. I know that you had one happen early in your career when it comes to at least middle of the season. It happened with Ray Rhodes, but that was obviously right before the end of the season. This is an 11-game slate, and I feel like a lot of guys are not only playing for their current jobs, but they're playing for their NFL futures. How do you think that affects the motivation of some guys on this team?
I think it should affect you in a way where you go out there and you do your thing. And that's the thing, Willie P. We've been told that this team has been playing hard and that they haven't given up. That's what we've been told. The product on the field says otherwise. Now this week, we talk about how you hear stories about how Coach Morris was getting in guys' face. And guys were kind of looking like, you know, shocked because that wasn't something that they were used to. I don't know what to expect from this squad. To be totally honest, to be full disclosure from me, I'm not expecting a whole lot. Now, if they change my mind, you're going to have to do a lot to change my mind. That's where I'm going with this. You're going to have to do a whole lot to change my mind because up until this point, all I've gotten was a whole lot of lip service.
Right. I think last week was the first time that I felt that I don't want to use the word quit because I don't like using that word because I know these guys have jobs and they have lifelines and on all those type of things.
A prideful group. Very, very prideful group.
But I do feel like last week was the first time we really saw them quit on a game. I feel like there was effort in the Packer game. There was effort in the two games that they lost where they had leads with the Bears as well as the Cowboys. They just did not execute. But last week was the first week where I really saw the effort kind of wane in the second half. And because of that, you saw the Panthers come from behind and get the victory 23-16. Of course, we'll get into all the other things going around week six in the National Football League. Also, you know, I feel like the if you're trying to pinpoint one particular problem for the Atlanta Falcons, it's that they don't do the little things very, very well. They miss assignments on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. They miss tackles. They don't catch footballs. And just those type of things always add up to big things. And because of that, you see yourself with the record that you have currently.
Yeah, and that's basically what it is. The word comes to mind is a little undisciplined. You talk about jumping off sides for this team. Is an issue. You know, we're 6 weeks into the season, you know, and there the last 5 weeks, you've had at least one offsides penalty every game. So it's one of those things where that needs to be nipped in the bud. You talk about missing assignments and things of that nature. And that's why, for me, it's really hard to gauge what's going to transpire today. It really is. How much of that can you get fixed in 1 week? You know, because that's what we're talking about. And on top of that, Willie P, you're talking about a handful of days because of the COVID scare. You didn't get a chance to practice on one of your key days during the week, and that's Thursday.
I was going to ask you, what type of effect does that have? I feel like, you know, there were some groups that missed Saturday and they did their walkthrough virtually, and other times you have the facility closed on Wednesday. But missing that Thursday, that is something that you look at and you say, that's a big, big day to miss.
Yeah, that's a crucial install day. That is a crucial install day. And I know for us, that was the day that we stuck in most of the meat and potatoes of the game plan and what we wanted to do, you know. And that's the day where, you know, you really get a full grasp of what you're trying to accomplish. Now, I know that they did it virtually and things of that nature. But with that being said, you know, with a team that has made so many mistakes over the past few weeks, I don't know if that's what you need, if that's enough to get you where you need to be. Now, I'm pulling for the team. Don't get me wrong. I'm pulling for the team this weekend, and I hope that they win. But, you know, when you look at it realistically, that's a tough hill to climb. That is a tough hill to climb.
I'm going to ask you a question related to what you just said here in just a moment. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. You can join us via the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We're also going to talk to some Falcons players, or at least hear from some Falcons players, as well as the Vikings. This was a game last year that we opened with. We opened with the Vikings. It was a 28-12 loss. They had Dalvin Cook. Dalvin looked pretty good. Kirk Cousins did not, yet our offense struggled to get going, and I feel like, again, as the ambassador of Planet Defense, you want to see things get going on that side of the football, but there are a lot of people who have some qualms with the way that this offense is running, and particularly the man who's at quarterback.
Oh, no question about it. This week, Matt Ryan has been a lightning rod for people that feel some kind of way about him. I guess that's the best way to say it. My thing is this. Last week, your qualms with Matt Ryan were warranted, but during no joke, because you know I've been a big fan of that's the wrong word to use, not fan, but I see the game a little bit differently than most people do.
Yes.
And in the last few weeks, Matt Ryan to me has done his job. Now, has the offense sputtered in the second half? Yes, no question about that, but they've given you enough points for you to have success in winning football games. Last week, not so much. That interception that he threw down there in a crucial situation, that was a backbreaker. That could have tied the game. That was a backbreaker. So everybody that feels some kind of way about Matt Ryan, your feelings were warranted last week, and I cannot deny that. But when you talk about the problems that this team has on a weekly basis and as a whole, as of right now where we sit, I don't see him as being the biggest issue.
We will see him get his biggest lineup back, or at least his biggest wideout back, in Julio Jones. He returns to the lineup. And I wonder, too, Hugh, if playing him against Green Bay was too much of a risk because you lost him for that game against Carolina as well. You didn't have him for the second half in that game against Green Bay. And I'm wondering just exactly how healthy he is. I know he was still limited in practice this week, but he's going to make a go out there against Minnesota. How healthy is Julio, and how does that affect things for the Falcons? Because to me, I almost look at him in the same way that I look at a lot of these guys, is that you need to be more than just an expensive decoy. You need to show me numbers, and he hasn't done that so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Will. As far as how healthy he is, I don't know. Julio's a warrior. He's a tough guy. He's going to be a decoy. If he's out there and he's going to try to go, but with those hamstrings and his ability to stretch the field, I don't know how effective he's going to be. Or how much he's going to push it. But I can tell you this, as an athlete, when you're out there and your team needs you, you're going to do everything that you possibly can. So I expect whatever percentage that Julio can give, that's what we're going to get. But, man, like I said, with that injury, it's kind of hard to say. It really is. I'm going to go, if you had to put a number on, I'm going to say 75 to 80%. But that's better than most receivers.
It is. But I do need to see some numbers, though. Is that not warranted?
Let me tell you. As a former player, the one thing that you always say when you walk out there on the field, whatever is ailing you before you walk out there on the field, once you walk out there on the field, that excuse is no longer valid. Like if you say, "Hey, my back is tight. Hey, I got a groin," ain't nobody trying to hear that because you're gonna be held to the standard that you set for yourself. Every time that you walk out there on the field, regardless of what your body's telling you. So, yeah, you better be ready to go when you're out there. So, I get you. I'm with you.
How did Planet Defense look last week to you, by the way?
Man, about like they look every other week. I mean, seriously, about like they look every other week.
I know. Believe me, I know that you are the ambassador of Planet Defense. And we'll talk a little bit more about what this team needs to do to beat the Vikings this week. And I'll ask you something with regards to the direction of this franchise. What do you think is the best case scenario for them over the next 11 games? We'll also hear from the Falcons and Vikings, too, in our preview segment. We'll also go around the NFL. Steve Ewing, also in our second hour. We're counting you down to kickoff. Falcons and Vikings, week 6 of the NFL season is right here on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Back up in the pocket, throws, backside, open, diving and scoring in the pylon. Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Gurley back in the game. Now Ridley has come to the left side, and they follow him. They're going to hand the ball to Gurley. Big hole left side. Todd 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Todd Gurley goes 35 yards on third and three.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on the radio.com app. Willie P, Hugh Douglas getting you ready for a Week 6 matchup in Minnesota, the Falcons and the Vikings. We'll give you our injury update here in just a moment. We are able to tell you, though, that the latest round of COVID-19 tests for the Falcons all came back negative, at least amongst the traveling party. So the game will take place as scheduled, but it will be without Marlon Davidson and John Kaminsky, who both would put on the reserve COVID-19 list earlier this week. Kaminsky was yesterday. Also, two of the Falcons' defensive line assistants, including D-line coach Tosh Lupoi, did not make the trip because of contact tracing. And we'll get more into the injury updates and injury report for both sides here in just a moment here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. But I wanted to ask you this before we get to our audio view. I think the biggest question right now on the minds of a lot of Falcons fans is, what's the best course of action? There's a lot of people who want to see this team
tank.
The number one pick in the draft. The word that
can't
you
tank.
Used is very much a thing, tank.
Can't tank.
The one thing that people, at least – you and I who cover this game and are in this business, you know, they don't tank. They don't play on purpose badly in order to lose. That's not something that happens in the league. That's only something that happens if you play Madden or if you try to, you know, do something virtual reality or in video games. That doesn't happen in real life. What is the best course of action, though, for this team? Is it to put a hard reset on everything at the end of the year? Or is it a situation like we have with Raheem Morris, where over the next 11 games we see this team improve and maybe he has the interim tag moved off his name and you push forward with him?
You know, honestly, as much as I love Coach Morris, I don't think that he's really going to get a real opportunity to coach this team. I think that when you talk about some of the young offensive-minded coaches, some of the directions that the NFL is going in, you know, with getting younger coaches, more innovative coaches, trying to get these offenses going and things of that nature, I think that the Falcons might want to do that. Now, you don't want to go out there and just, you know, lay an egg. You don't want to do that. So I think that they're going to go out there and play well. But okay, let's say for instance, if Coach Morris did get a chance to get the job, I don't think that some of the guys that are here, when you talk about salary cap issues and things of that nature, I don't think that they really are going to fit the narrative. And if you're truly going to give him the opportunity to coach this team and take it in the direction that he wants to take it in, then in all fairness, he should be allowed to make some of those same decisions that you were going to let the new guy make. And that might entail, you know, certain guys not being here. You know, as far as like the quarterback and things of that nature, I do believe that when you talk about the money that Matt Ryan's making and the point in his career where he is, I think that if you're going to hit a hard reset on it, he's one of those guys that you could potentially look at moving. I think Julio's another guy that you could potentially look at moving, because I think that the window for this team, and like the window to go to the Super Bowl for this team, it's not closing, but you want to try to set yourself up and put yourself in a position to be successful for years to come. So I think that if, say for instance, if they were serious about giving Coach Morris the opportunity to take this job, I think that he would want to hit a reset on here as well.
Yeah, if the door is not still open, it is still only slightly ajar. If it's not fully closed, I should say, it's slightly ajar. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here is Raheem Morris talking about the fact that he can't think of this 11-game slate as a job interview.
Well, Vaughn, in case you haven't paid attention to the last 24 hours, I'm the head coach right now of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And I got 11 games guaranteed to do that. And as a coach, fortunately for us, we focus one game at a time. So our job is to go out and win one game and go 1-0 for the next 11 weeks. So I am completely focused on the Minnesota Vikings and how to get our win versus the Minnesota Vikings this week, because the Minnesota Vikings don't care about me going 11-0. They care about trying to get a win against us, and we're trying to get a win against them, period. That's it.
Raheem Morris, one thing I do like about him as opposed to Dan is I feel like he has a better feel of both sides of the football. You know, he was an offensive assistant on this team previously. Mm-hmm. He was, of course, the defensive coordinator down the stretch last year and, of course, to begin this year. All that's well and good. The problem is, though, the adjustments they made in the second half of last year have not carried over to this year. And my biggest question is, what does the defense look like for the Falcons this week against Minnesota? Do we see some of those pressure wrinkles that we saw against Dallas in that first half? I know I keep going back to that, but that was really the only time I felt that we got consistent pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, and then we saw it break down in the second half. So it all depends on, I guess, on how you attack the Minnesota Vikings. The run game is much a part of what they want to do. I mean, there's no question about that. The run game is much a part of what the Minnesota Vikings want to do. And the thing about, to me, about the Atlanta Falcons defense is, for whatever reason, in the second half, the adjustments aren't made for them to have success. Now, you still have some of the same brain trust over there that you've had before. Now, I don't know how much Coach Quinn overrode what some things want to happen and things like that. I don't know. I don't think that's the case. So that's why I get a little bit paused when I think about all of a sudden, you know how some teams, when you get a new philosophy and a new coaching change and you automatically, say like the Houston Texans, mm-hmm. they have a different coaching change and then, you know, you have a different outcome.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's going to be the case here. I really don't. Because I've gotten a lot of lip service the last couple of weeks, and I don't know. I'm not in a real trusting place right now. That I guess that's what I'm trying to say in so many words. I'm not in a real trusting place when it comes to all of a sudden, you know, we have a new voice in the locker room, and we're gonna flip a switch, and we're gonna be, you know, this team that all of a sudden, you know, is in more love with Coach Morris than we were with Coach Quinn. I don't know.
Here's the thing, Hugh. You could have a situation where they come out, they look like a completely different team in week five, maybe over this next stretch before the bye, and then you get people ticked off saying, why we do this sooner?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot to be in. But I tell you this, Willie P. You want to win games. Like that's the bottom line. Sure. You want to win games, and you do that by hook or by crook. And that means Coach Morris is going to go out there and he's going to do everything that he possibly can to win these football games. I have confidence in him as far as him trying to put this team in position to be successful. Now, the guys that are out there playing, the defensive guys, there's only a few of them I can look at and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll ride with him. But the rest of them, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing that I go back to, and it's something I put in my piece after the Dan Quinn dismissal. He became the symbol for the ineptitudes of the players and the inability to close. But at the end of the day, it's the players on the field who have to carry out the execution plan, and they were the ones who didn't do that. You know, it's nothing that Dan Quinn did. I understand that he becomes somebody who was the constant when you think about the loss in the Super Bowl and the two back-to-back collapses this year and some of the other ones that happened during his tenure. And granted, I know that some of those were due to bad play calling, but at the end of the day, players execute plays, you're in a different situation. We're having a different conversation now. And I feel, too, that if you look at the Falcons and you look at what they're doing over the course of these next couple of weeks, I agree with you in the fact that I feel like a hard reset is needed. But at the end of the day, it's all about getting back to a certain level. We are on, I don't want to say rock bottom right now, but we've reached basically as low as we're going to reach. You're 0-5. You can't be any lower than 0-5 right now. How do you start that ascendancy is the biggest question on the minds of a lot of Falcon fans. Is it a turnaround that begins this week, or you play out the string and try and wrap it up for 2021? It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas discussing week six for the Falcons as they take on the Minnesota Vikings, who come in with a young defense that, stop me if you've heard this before, Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, our former D coordinator, says they're still learning how to close out games themselves.
You know, we talk about the four phases of football. You know, first is learning how to compete. Second is learning how to win. Third is learning how to handle winning. And so, you know, we're competing really well. I mean, we're playing our butt off. And, you know, it's come into the fourth quarter a couple times. You know, some of these young guys learning how to understand the difference between, you know, playing cautiously and playing aggressively, and where you have to be on that.
I don't know, if you wouldn't have told me any differently, Hugh, I would have said that that was Dan Quinn talking, not Mike Zimmer, because when you look at the way that some of the Viking games have gone this year, they do not play well in the second half against the Packers. They lose 43-34. They lose a close one to the Tennessee Titans, 31-30. Their only win comes against Houston in the game that they took Bill O'Brien's job away. And the Seattle Seahawks, a 27-26 loss last week, where Russell Wilson needed to make a gargantuan comeback in order to get them the victory. They're a team, much like us, that's had trouble closing things out in the second half.
Yeah, but the biggest difference is they got one. They got one so far this year. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at that, and that's something you can hang your hat on, because you could go back and you could look at that game and say to yourself, you know, at least we put it together for one. So that's something that you could kind of build on. And like I said, young defense, still trying to figure it out. It's gonna be a good matchup. But when you talk about both of these teams right now are trying to figure out a way to just turn their season around. You're talking about two pretty good teams last year, and now they're one pretty good team last year, and now they're just trying to figure out, you know, how to just get on the positive side of things.
Of course, they'll be without their major pass rusher, Danielle Hunter. He's somebody who is a game plan type guy when it comes to the defensive line of the Vikings. They don't really bring about a lot of other exciting players on that side of the football, so you wonder how the Falcons can possibly take advantage of that. Of course, Yannick Ngakoue is on that other side. He's the other one who you have to account for on that D-line. We'll talk more about him coming up later on in the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, also on radio.com. We'll come back and talk about the rest of the Week 6 slate in the National Football League, some intriguing games, and also some more that have been had to move to Monday as a result of COVID-19 positives. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas back here with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
The biggest tailgate party in the state is right here.
No, we be tailgating.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Wilson in a shotgun. Two-step drop. Time. Now stutter steps. Plenty of time. Jarrett wraps him up, and he's going to be sacked back at the 20-yard line. Grady Jarrett wrapped him up first. And he is going to split the sack, and the Falcons get a third down stop for the first time today.
That's from the Falcons' opening game against the Seahawks, who are one of the four teams on byes in this Week 6 of the NFL season. Wade Ford Tailgate Show continues. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we go around the NFL, again, the four teams on bye: Seahawks, Chargers, Raiders, and, of course, our NFC South brethren, the New Orleans Saints. Starting out kind of with some of these intriguing games, Hugh, we look no further than the AFC North. Big battle in the Steel City. Steelers and Browns. Four wins in a row for Cleveland, man. I tell you what, I didn't envision this before the season started for them.
No, we didn't. You know, the Cleveland Browns, I heard, are the highest scoring offense in the AFC. The highest scoring offense.
That's insane.
Yes. And they're playing extremely well right now, man. Playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers team, that's 4-0. That's the first time they've been that in a while. Steelers fans are excited about it. They haven't really played anybody, though. You know, they played a few tomato cans, you know, not taking anything away from them. But, you know, and one of the tomato cans was the Philadelphia Eagles, no question about that. But, you know, it's going to be a good game, man. You know, Cleveland, you know, they have bad blood between them, so that's going to be a pretty exciting matchup today. That's the premier matchup today of the day, if I'm not mistaken.
You are pretty much correct. Browns, their last couple of wins have not been against the tomato cans. They beat a Colts team who started pretty well, and the Cowboys who say what you will about the NFC East, they sit atop it, at least somewhat near the top of it. Again, if you're the top of the most bottom division, again, what really is that worth?
Yeah.
But we'll talk a little bit more about that later coming up here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Intriguing part of this, though, Hugh, is that it is the first time that Myles Garrett gets to see the Steelers since the suspension that took place last year after he swung his helmet at Mason Rudolph. Do you expect any fireworks to result from that?
Oh yeah, during the course of the game, though, within the realm of the game, I don't think it's going to be anything extracurricular. I mean, it's bad blood between these two programs. Well, these two organizations, no question about that. You know, because they're so close together, and it's just ingrained that these two teams don't like each other. But as far as anything that's going to, you know, carry over off the field, I don't think so.
One thing that is key for the Cleveland Browns is the fact that Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and Odell Beckham Jr. are all expected to play. Mayfield and Beckham had questionable statuses, OBJ with COVID-19 as well. He put a negative test back on the COVID-19 ledger too, so he'll be back, and he was back in the facility late last week. If there's another game that could possibly be termed as marquee, it would be the Packers and the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. Another statement matchup for Tom Brady going up against Aaron Rodgers. Of course, we've seen this Packer team and what they look like. Aaron Rodgers has made ordinary wide receivers look like superstars. He has wanted to do that. When it comes to Brady, it's the first time we see him since that befuddling Thursday night football loss to the Bears, where
when he forgot what down it was.
Forgot how many downs there were.
Yeah, they were on him, though. I'm telling you, that's what pressure does to you. When they're getting after you like that, it you know, you're frustrated on the drop balls and playing with teams, playing with receivers that are not really, you know, doing, you know, what they're supposed to do in certain situations. You get a little frustrated, so he forgot.
He did. But guess what? You know, seeing him do poorly, it's not something that I'm necessarily mad about.
You know, I mean, listen. Tom Brady has had a lot of success in his career. I mean, hey, it happens to the best of us, man. I mean, everybody has a couple of bad days. I mean, his legacy is not going to be tarnished because he forgot which down the distance it was. It's just not.
I'm not going to say that scheduling played a part in the Chiefs' loss to the Raiders last week, but for the second time in the span of 3 weeks, they had a game move. They're going to play Monday at the Bills. I'm wondering if the topsy-turvy nature and the, I guess, fluid level of the way that their scheduling has been because of COVID-19. And again, to be fair, all other teams, not them. It just seems to be like they're the team that ends up kind of getting the short end of the stick like this. How much of that do you think affected their slip-up last week against Las Vegas?
You know, I don't think it affected them that much. You got to be able to adapt, especially this year, Willie P. This is a year of adaptation. You know, especially when you talk about some of the things that you're doing as far as in your personal life. You're talking about some of the things that you're doing because of COVID or what you're not doing because of COVID. So I think it's all about adaptation, and I don't think you can use any excuse when it comes to that. This is a part of your job. Adapt or die.
Was that still an eye-opening result for you last week, though?
The Raiders? You know what, man? The Raiders are quietly – when they beat the Saints early on and the way that they played against the Saints, I know a lot of people were talking about Drew Brees and his demise and all this other stuff. They played a pretty good team. I mean, they played a pretty good game playing against them. And I can't remember the tight end's name that plays for the Raiders. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good tight end. The one that had all the issues and came back to the NFL. Pretty good player, man. So I think the Raiders are benefiting tremendously from the fact that, you know, a lot of people, if you're not a Raiders fan, you really don't get a chance to see them that much. So people tend to forget how sneaky good that they are or how good they were becoming when Coach Gruden came there.
You mentioned the Houston Texans last week. They got their first win. They got a little bump from interim head coach Romeo Crennel. And I think that a lot of people saw that result and looked toward the Falcons to see, you know, whether or not they can get that similar kind of bump. You don't think that bump is coming for the Falcons. What, if anything, did you see differently from what the Texans did to get themselves their first win last week?
I think that, you know, from the little bit that I did see, Willie P, was just that, you know, guys believe in Romeo Crennel. I think that there was a rift that was never healed when Coach O'Brien basically traded away their best player on offense. And then you hear about the fact that J.J. Watt was a little bit disgruntled with him. J.J. Watt is the face of your franchise outside of Deshaun Watson. But he's the guy. He's your Hall of Fame guy. And for it to be publicized that there was a rift between you and him, guys are looking at that. J.J. Watt's a leader. And I think that once you stabilize the leadership in that locker room, that guys just were able to just play. And that was the biggest difference.
And so you're saying that because the Falcons didn't have a similar type of rift towards Dan Quinn, you're not expecting much of a different result.
It's hard to say, man. It really is. And then you talk about that crucial Thursday that you missed, and the fact that we've been told, man, listen, those guys went out there and they played their butts off a year ago to help Coach Quinn keep his job. The situation did not change this year, and the results were the same as they were as the beginning of last season. I don't know. It's hard to say. I like I said, I like Coach Morris, and I think he's a great guy. Had a chance to talk to him. I love Coach Ulbrich. I love the energy that he brings. I just don't – right now, I don't know what these guys are going to do when it gets tight out there. I just don't know what they're going to do. I have to see it first. Before I buy back all in, I have to be able to see it on the field. And right now, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the love that they say they profess for Coach Quinn.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Willie P and Hugh Douglas looking at Week 6 of the National Football League. Two teams that, quite honestly, Hugh, I didn't think either of them would be over 500 at this point. But the 4-1 Bears facing the 3-2 Carolina Panthers inside our division. Which team is more for real in your eyes?
You know what's funny about this is you look at the way the Carolina Panthers played, and the one thing that their head coach, Matt Rhule, said that jumped out to me was the fact that, you know, we're going to go out there, we're going to try to play mistake-free football. That was the one thing that Coach Parcells, that a lesson that he taught me a long time ago when he was with the Jets, that still rides with me when it comes to football, is that you go out there and the least amount of mistakes that you make as a football player puts you in a position to have success in the NFL. And that held true for Carolina last week against us. I think that they're in a good position to be a pretty good team. And then when they get Christian McCaffrey back, they're going to be better. Chicago Bears, though, they're a little bit more complete. They're a little bit more veteran squad. Nick Foles, mm-hmm. you know, goes out there and he does what he does. He has a little bit of pedigree, won a Super Bowl. I would say between the two, long story short, I would go with the Chicago Bears. And plus, I picked the Chicago Bears to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, it kind of falls in line with the way that I'm picking. So, yeah, there you go. There you go.
You ride that thing until it completely
dies
out.
Yeah, until it completely dies out. That's how I do.
I understand it. I would, too, if I were you and I did something so outrageous. Patriots and the Broncos in Week 6. There was some COVID issues with the Patriots building. They had their building shut down late last week, but they opened back up. But also put some guys on the COVID-19 reserve list. Sony Michel is one of them. Also, Shaq Mason and Derek Rivers. Denver also without Melvin Gordon. He was in a DUI earlier this week, but that's not why he's missing this game. He has strep throat. He did not make the trip to New England for that game between the Broncos and the Patriots. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to play today against the Detroit Lions. They had their facility shut down yesterday because of a positive test from their practice squad. They placed 12 of the 13 practice squad players on their roster on the reserve COVID-19 list. And this goes back to what you talked about earlier, Hugh. Adaptation is the one thing that the team that adapts the best is going to be the one that at least succeeds in this season, although both of these teams haven't adapted well. They're both having one win on this season between the Lions as well as Jacksonville.
Yeah, man. I mean, and that's what it's about. I mean, you know, you talk about COVID and how it's run rampant through football teams and how it's run rampant through certain places that you know, that seem to, I don't know, miraculously recover, Nick Saban, from COVID as quickly as they do. It's one of those things where you have to be safe. You have to be cautious. And I think that the teams that are better prepared for that are the ones that are going to have the most success. One team that kind of comes to mind, I don't know how many positive tests they've had. I know they had one early on, but the Kansas City Chiefs seem like they're doing a pretty good job of handling, you know, these COVID outbreaks, and guys are doing what they need to do. Because this is the thing, Willie P, you still have to be accountable for the things that you do and the places that you go when you do. You know, if you do decide to go out, you just got to be real careful nowadays, man. You really do. So the teams that are being careful are going to have the better chances of having success at the end.
Is it fair to ask how you got 3 positive tests in the span of 3 hours and got all those tests back in time? Asking for a friend? Is that a fair question?
You know what? I don't know. But this is the reason why people have trust issues. It's because all of a sudden – no, seriously. It's because all of a sudden things – the meter feels like it moves. for certain individuals. That's all.
That's kind all I'm saying. It's kind of where I sit too as well. Week 6 of the NFL schedule. Also, it'll be the first time we see Andy Dalton start a game for the Dallas Cowboys.
The Red Rifle.
On Monday night.
The Red Rifle.
I tell you what, they showed a lot of moxie staying in that game again against a beaten opponent in the New York Giants, but I still feel like if you look at the Cowboys, they have at least handled themselves the right way despite the Dak Prescott injury.
Dude, the New York Giants coach, to have them practicing in the rain this week, that was pretty funny. Talking about you got to take advantage of bad weather. He's high school. He's straight rah-rah, sis boom bah high school.
I'm not going to go. I don't like making personal criticisms on people.
I do. So, I don't mind it.
So I'm not going to call him a moron. I'm just going to say I strongly disagree with some of his tactics of the way that he's run his football.
Firecracker, sis boom bah. Bugs Bunny, rah-rah-rah.
They play the Washington football team this week at the New Jersey Meadowlands. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That game is, by the way, parental guidance suggested. Mature audiences only. We'll look at the injury report for the Falcons and Vikings, tell you the latest two players for the Falcons who made it to the COVID-19 reserve list and who's back for Atlanta. When we come back, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.